It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district? What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And I do get to work with a great team who I am very grateful for. That is producer Joe. And there's producers Nicole and Rachel, Luke. And then we have the team of Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I am blessed. It is a blessing to work with people that are all pulling on the same side of the rope to make sure that we make things happen, and everybody strives for excellence, and I love that about this team as well. Really pleased to have on the line with me Leslie Manoukian. She's a regular guest on the show, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense and Health Freedom Defense Fund, and there's amazing work that they are doing. Leslie Manoukian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. It's so great to be with you once again. I so appreciate all that you and your team do. I love your intros. I just love listening to you talk and how you frame things. I'm just blessed to be to know you and be on the show. So thank you for having me.
Well, and it's my honor. One of these days we will meet in person. But I feel like I will know you by your voice. That's for sure, because we've had these many great conversations. And we're pre-recording these shows for the week of Thanksgiving, and we do this because having these special guests and get to spend a whole hour with them is just something that's really special. Leslie Manoukian, for people that don't know, give us, if this is the first time people are learning about you, tell us about you.
Okay. So I grew up mostly in Idaho, went to business school after college, and then went to go and work on Wall Street. And once I was working on Wall Street, I worked at Goldman Sachs. They transferred me to London. I'm working in London. And I just was disillusioned with the whole investment banking area. And I thought maybe there would be fewer conflicts of interest if I went to what's called the buy side. So I went to go and work for a big client of mine, Alliance Capital. And I was a telecom and technology analyst. And for the first 10 months, and then I was promoted to head of research, and shortly after that to head of portfolio management as well for our European growth portfolio management businesses. And this is important and relevant because what I did was interview the CEOs of multinational corporations in order to determine whether or not we should invest in their companies. And while fulfilling that role, I met dozens and dozens of CEOs and got to talk with them privately about their businesses, what the drivers of their businesses were, how healthy their businesses were, all those kinds of things. And at one point, a couple of years before I quit, I had the CEO of one of the biggest pharmaceutical and vaccine makers in the world come into our offices to reassure us about their stock, because we owned about $1 billion of the stock. And the stock was getting crushed, and the market was down about 25 or 30%. And the CEO, CFO, head of investor relations, and head of R&D all came in, and the CEO looked at me and he said, listen, some people in very rare instances are dying on the clinical trials, the phase 3 clinical trials that we're in on our new blockbuster drug. And the bad news is the FDA is going to make us put a black box warning on our packaging. The good news is we still think we can do $7 billion in peak sales. And I felt, Kim, like someone had kicked me in the gut. I couldn't believe it, because it was just such a brazen admission that he knew that they would kill people, but that they would still make a lot of money, and we should be reassured by that. Well, I left that meeting, and I just thought, oh, my gosh, I am playing for the wrong team. I'm using my experience, my education, my skills and intellect for the wrong side. And I decided that I was going to get out in the not-too-distant future. And I had several other experiences like that that really formed me. And I was also very sick, and I didn't know why, and I kept going to the doctor, and he told me to go and see a homeopath. So I went and saw a homeopath, and the homeopath told me to go and to start taking all these different homeopathic remedies. And it really resonated with me, and it really helped, so much so that I enrolled in homeopathy college in secret. And the very, very first day of homeopathy college orientation, the teacher told us that there was something called vaccine damage. And I thought he was a complete nut job, because I thought vaccines were the greatest invention of mankind. And so I said, you know, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you might want to dig a little deeper. And he gave me a book to read. And, you know, the combination of the experience that I had had on Wall Street, seeing this and seeing this cavalier attitude from these executives, combined with this new information that there was a vaccine debate, and then reading the book, led me to understand that there was a problem, that the medical industry wasn't telling us the truth about not only vaccines, but so many things. And I decided then and there that I was going to make a documentary film on vaccines called The Greater Good. And that movie came out in 2011, so I started making it I started researching it in 2001, and then we started filming in 2007 or 8, and it was finally released in 2011. And I'm sharing all this because it really formulated not only my beliefs about health freedom, but my appreciation and understanding of what we face as a nation when it comes to health freedom. So once you start actually challenging the mainstream narrative or status quo on any issue like vaccines, you realize why freedom is important. It's just like freedom of speech. When we speak out about freedom of speech, when we speak out against something, the mainstream narrative, and we get quashed for it, well, that's why we have a First Amendment, because the government shouldn't be able to tell you to stop saying something just because it doesn't like it. And that's what the First Amendment is designed to protect. So all this stuff helped to galvanize me into action over the last 20 plus years. And then in the beginning of 2020, when the whole COVID crisis began, I knew that what was happening was that the public health authorities and governments of the world were using a public health scare as a guide for implementing an authoritarian response and forcing vaccines. I just knew that from day one. Early in January, I said it to my husband. And why did I know that? Because of all the laws they put in place to facilitate it over the last 20 plus years. But anyway, that is what led me to start Health Freedom Defense Fund. Okay. And Health Freedom Defense Fund is the organization that is responsible for stopping the federal travel mask mandate and many other mandates. And our mission is to essentially instill in the public consciousness a respect for and appreciation of bodily autonomy, the idea that you and you alone own yourself, and then to codify that in law. And so that's why we do what we do. We've filed nearly a dozen lawsuits in the last 3 years, and we've had some major wins. And this is why we work, to try and protect your bodily autonomy, your right to freedom.
Well, and a couple of things. First of all, the Greater Good movie, people can get that at greatergoodmovie.org, correct? We've got that.
That's correct, Kim.
And
yeah.
Then Health Freedom Defense Fund. This work is legal. Legal work is very expensive. And so tell us about how people can support you.
Sure. So, you know, if one thing I really want to make clear is that our system, our judicial system, is essentially upside down, because CDC went and mandated masks for everybody, even though the CDC had no evidence that all those people, millions of people who were traveling for work or pleasure or whatever, were sick. And that's not legal. That's not lawful. And that's certainly not in line with what we should have done. My point is that every American was conceivably impacted by that, except for those under 2 years of age. And all the lawsuits that we pursue are in the public interest, because the people that we represent and help could be any American. I really want to drive that point home. They're school teachers and transportation industry workers and federal employees and all these different people. They're teachers at universities and employees at universities and students. These are the kinds of people we represent. They are every man and every woman in this country. So you can go and you can support us by going to healthfreedomdefense.org, healthfreedomdefense.org. And once you're there, you can just read about our work. You can join our newsletter, which is, of course, free. You can become a member for only $10. And you can donate to all of our causes. So the legal pages, you can actually find on the legal pages a link to donate to a specific litigation effort, or you can just use our general donation button in order to donate to Health Freedom Defense Fund in general, and then we allocate it where we need it the most for whichever lawsuit we're pursuing at that time or which has activity in it.
Well, and Leslie, tell us, in fact, I think you and I talked just shortly after the courts ruled that people no longer would be forced to wear masks on public transportation. And I guess I was talking with someone. The flight attendants were going down the aisle of an airplane and people were gleefully throwing their masks into a trash bag. And I mean, that was a really big first step towards freedom.
Yeah, and not only were they throwing their masks in, but the flight attendants were singing, "Take off your mask." I won't sing anything more than that, just to not bother anyone's ears. But I mean, the point is that was a turning point in the COVID crisis, because I think that legal win did many things. Number one, it made Americans feel like they weren't helpless. And in so doing, it inspired them to stand up for their freedoms and for what's right, because there was never any scientific justification to mask the community. There never was any. That's the simple truth. They just did it because they wanted to, and I believe they did it in order to condition the public to submit and to accept submission in the future. So it inspired people in a way that nothing else had. There had not been as big of a legal win for the people during the whole COVID crisis, and I think you could argue that there still hasn't been as big of a win as that. Secondly, it cut the legs out from under the administrative state. So the administrative state is the whole body of federal agencies that sit under the executive. Many deem them the fourth branch of government, and they're not actually supposed to exist according to our founders' intentions. They have only been created under Congress, essentially, to take some of the workload off of Congress. And that's ridiculous. In some ways, Congress is abdicating its responsibilities, because Congress is supposed to oversee all of, it's supposed to not only make laws, but also control the purse strings in this country. And by creating all these federal agencies, what's effectively happened is that Congress has created an absurdly powerful president that's more akin to a king, and that was never the intention. In fact, that was, you know, the exact opposite of what our founders intended. But what happens is, as long as Congress has granted a federal agency a certain amount of authority on something, then the president can issue executive orders and tell that agency, well, you have this authority, go and do this. So what happened was, on President Biden's second full day in office, or first full day in office, he was inaugurated one day, the next day, his first full day in office, he instructed CDC to issue a mask mandate. But CDC doesn't have the power or authority to do that. And so we sued the Biden administration and stated that very fact, that you don't have the authority to do that, that CDC does not have this power or authority, that CDC overstepped the rules that dictate how federal agencies behave. And that if CDC did have that power and authority, then it was an improper delegation of authority from Congress to the executive. And we won. We won on all counts. The judge, you know, she vacated CDC's mandate effective immediately. And that's why you have these the celebration across the country. And from what I heard from all the people that I know who were on airplanes and all the videos that were sent to me, all but maybe 1 or 2% of people took their masks off in that moment, which is pretty incredible.
That is pretty. Yeah, go ahead.
How willingly people will comply. Yeah.
Well, and that is why we need to shed light on this and this whole compliance. Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. We'll have to do that in the next segment regarding compliance. And so that's a great discussion. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. That website is healthfreedomdefensefund.org. And certainly, as we value our freedom, it would be great to help them in their great work. And you can contribute there at healthfreedomdefensefund.org. The show comes to you because of one.
I have to just say it's healthfreedomdefense.org. Even though we call ourselves Health Freedom Defense Fund, there's no fund in the URL.
Healthfreedomdefense.org. Good clarification. Healthfreedomdefense.org. I got it, Leslie. And we get to do this because of sponsors. And one of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Roger's been in business for 47 years, serving his customers, providing for his family, and giving back to the communities of Centennial, Littleton, Highlands Ranch, Inglewood, Greenwood Village, as well as Castle Rock. He can help anybody here, any place in Colorado. And so for help with your insurance needs, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday!
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I am very grateful for the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are raising money to remodel the Marine Memorial out at 6th and Colfax. And we're getting into Christmas, Hanukkah season. A great gift would be to buy a brick that will be on one of their walkways honoring your loved one's military service. And when you do that, you'll get a beautiful certificate that you can give to them. I actually have purchased two bricks, one for my father, and it is one of the best gifts that I have ever given him. So get more information. Go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That is usmcmemorialfoundation.org. We are pre-recording these shows for Thanksgiving week, and so pleased to have on the line with me Leslie Manoukian, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, and that website is healthfreedomdefense.org. And we're talking about the different lawsuits that they have had some great success. And one of those was because of that, you don't have to wear a mask on a train or a plane or a bus. Thank you, Leslie Manoukian. I didn't fly because I didn't want to have to wear a mask. But now I have freedom to choose. So I appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. I am honored and honor to stand for every American and the American ideals of freedom. And I'm also just blessed to have been in a position to be able to do so. You know, I feel super fortunate. I've always felt like my calling was to speak and stand for people who can't speak for themselves. Not everybody feels comfortable. Not everybody has that, calling. And I guess I just have. And I'm just grateful to have been put here to do this work and to be able to be a part of defending our American ideals and freedoms. I think it's so incredibly important. I think it was Reagan who said that our loss of our freedoms is just one generation away, and mm-hmm. we are painfully close to that, with young people having no understanding or appreciation for the First Amendment or any other of our founding principles. They just don't get it because our educational system has been deliberately debased in order to indoctrinate them into thinking that words can hurt their, that words are violence and things like this. It's crazy. And so we live in a really messed up world. And I just, as sad as it is and scary as it is sometimes, I'm actually quite grateful to be alive right now and to have been put here. And, been, I feel like all my work has been inspired by God, and that's why I do what I do.
Same with me, Leslie. In fact, I was talking with someone the other day, and at the end of our church service, they say, "And send us out to do the work that you would have us do." And so that's why I do what I'm doing, and you're doing what you're doing, is to send us out to do the work that we must do. And when I say on the show that we were made for this moment, I really do feel that we're in the third founding of our country, and it is now up to us. We stand on the shoulders of these giants, and we have a responsibility. But I always love to have you just tell your story, though, is that when I think you referred to yourself when you were on Wall Street as the socialist on Wall Street or something. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, I used to joke that I was the only socialist on Wall Street. I fully believe that the only thing wrong in the world was that I didn't, and other high earners didn't pay enough in taxes, and that government didn't have enough money as a result. And if I paid more and everybody else paid more and had their fair share, everything would be peachy. It's unbelievable. I mean, I truly believe that. In every fiber of my body, I thought that. And I mean, I was paying,
a lot.
50%.
Yeah.
A lot. We're talking a lot. We're talking a lot of money in my taxes. My tax bill was huge every year,
And which is a blessing. It means you're doing well, but.
Of course. But the thing is, it never occurred to me back then that money was not being used for the things that I wanted it to be used for. It never occurred to me that I actually didn't have a vote over where that money was going. It never occurred to me that the people who were charged with allocating my tax dollars weren't moral, decent people, or might use that money to line their own pockets or to pursue policies that destroyed this very nation. It never occurred to me that they would go to war under false pretenses like they did in Iraq. We all know now that Saddam never had weapons of mass destruction. Yes, he was a bad guy, but he never had weapons of mass destruction, and he had nothing to do with 9/11. And yet Cheney and his buddies were all trying to connect him to it within hours of 9/11, of the events. And so my point is, I was just clueless. And this really takes us back to our founders. I think it was John Adams who said that our system of government only works when we have an educated and moral populace. And we have neither of those today. You watch these men on the street videos, whether it was Will Witt, who was at PragerU, or Ami Horowitz. He has a, what's he called it now? He now calls it Ami on the Loose, but it used to be Ami on the Street, I think. And they go around and they ask people questions. Well, who were our... Who was the first president? It is shocking to learn that most young people don't even know. They don't know who was the president during the Civil War. They don't know. When they're asked to line up who are the most evil men in history, they would put Trump ahead of Stalin or Hitler. Now, this is the direct result of agendas being promulgated by nefarious actors, malicious actors, in order to dumb our populace down so that they will submit. And then you look at what goes on in the media and how they're destroying any kind of moral fabric. Anything goes. You know, have sex with anybody you want. Take any drugs you want. Do anything. You know, it's like everything is okay. There's actually, I just saw this weekend, do you remember that ad that a British grocery store chain called Sainsbury's put out? And it's called Christmas of 1914. And in it, it depicts a true story in which Germans and British soldiers who were in opposing trenches on Christmas Eve started singing Silent Night. And the next morning, after a peaceful night, one of the British soldiers waved his hat, started to climb out of the trench with his hands up, and all the Germans were ready to fire on him. But one German said, no, he's not armed. And they all stood down, and what happened was all the British soldiers and all the German soldiers in that area came out of their trenches on Christmas Day, and they played soccer, and they showed pictures of their family members, and they enjoyed a day of peace. And it brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful, and it speaks to the potential of humanity. Most human beings are good and want peace, and they are loving good people. And then there's a new ad that's out this year. Someone sent this to me yesterday. And there's a new ad that's out by another British store, chain of stores, called M&S. And this one says, do what you want on Christmas. Make it how you want. And it shows throwing away something, burning the little Christmas, paper Christmas hats that Brits wear. It just shows, it's basically a celebration of nihilism and of selfishness. And I watched those two things, and I was just utterly aghast because this is not an accident. This is being pushed on us so that we will think, you know what? I'll just be a hedon. I'll do whatever serves me in the moment, and it's okay. Because ultimately, it's a spiritual war, right? It's about those people who answer to a higher power and therefore some moral authority and believe in doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, versus those who believe that there's nothing bigger than ourselves. There's no God, no divine spirit, nothing divine that animates each and every one of our souls, that animates our bodies, right? And who believe that you're nothing more than a bag of bones, a machine, essentially. Because if you're nothing more than a bag of bones, an animal, or a machine, then they have no problem claiming that they can tell you what to do. Be injected, wear a mask, live in a 15-minute city, accept this chip, use your palm to buy groceries at Whole Foods, whatever it is, have a brain implant, be surveilled 24/7. And it's heartbreaking because this is all being pushed on us by dark money and dark actors who want to destroy the fabric of our society, in fact, of Western civilization in general, so they can usher in a new world order under which they live lives of lavish luxury as basically kings, and the rest of us are serfs. And that's where we are, Kim.
That is where we are, and it's interesting what you were saying, that the difference between these two different advertisements. And at the end of the show, when I encourage us to think great thoughts, I mean, we have choices where, you know, where we go with our brains and our thoughts, and we have choices on that. And then do whatever you want. And I was thinking, do whatever you want comes down to, then we have no values or no principles or your truth, you know, no foundational truth. There is foundational truth. But I was thinking about it. Broken values or broken principles lead to broken people. And that's why I think that we have this whole mental health challenge that's going on in America right now, Leslie.
Yeah, and broken people lead to broken communities, right? And without a community, you don't have... And broken communities lead to a broken social fabric. And without a social fabric, you don't have a country. So, you know, if you look at... You'll laugh, but I gave a speech about 7 years ago at the launch for Health Freedom Idaho. I'm a founding board member of that organization, which seeks to protect Idahoans' health freedoms. And what I talked about in that speech was how we are essentially at war with our government, and most Americans just don't know it. They are pushing things on us and have been for decades that none of us want. How many of us want Roundup being sprayed all over the place? How many voted for that? How many of us want GMO seeds and GMO crops, GMO salmon? None of us. We don't want it. How many of us want cricket protein in our breads and crackers? None of us voted for that. How many of us actually want fluoride in our water? No educated person wants that, and it was pushed when people didn't know. How many of us want to inject our children with aluminum and mercury and polysorbate 80 and all sorts of other adventitious agents that are in vaccines? How many of us want geoengineering to spray chemicals all over us like it's happening? We don't want these things, but this is what's happening. And it's because of those things. And something else that's so important is the food system. How many of us want all the chemicals, atrazine, all of the chemicals that are on our foods? How many of us want all the super processed foods and all the chemicals that are in those super processed foods? Those things aren't good for us. And all those things actually work together. So the aluminum in vaccinations impairs cognitive function. What does that mean in layman's terms? It causes brain damage. The nutrient-depleted food that we eat every day undermines our intellectual capabilities. Fluoridated communities, the children that grow up in fluoridated communities, have IQs that are 4 to 6 percentage points lower than the communities that don't fluoridate their water. Do you see a pattern here?
Wow.
People who are nutrient-depleted tend to be less calm, less peaceful, less intelligent. So you've got all these different factors that come to place. And people who don't eat proper amounts of saturated fat, which contain from animals that are fed pasture, which then contain proper amounts of vitamins A, D, and K, don't have proper immune systems. They can't think as clearly, like if they're not as well nourished. All these issues, they all come together. So what ends up resulting is a populace that is sick in general, overweight, unable to think, not strong. So right, they're weak, they're impotent. And what kind of a, and they're not as able to think clearly as well. So what kind of a populace, who wants that kind of a populace? A government that wants to be able to control the populace. So a controllable populace is a sick populace.
Oh my gosh, this is...
Maybe this, just put the other way.
This is...
A sick populace is a controllable populace, but yeah.
It's daunting. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian, that website, and you can help by going to healthfreedomdefense.org. That's healthfreedomdefense.org. We're going to continue the conversation. Before we do that, though, I did want to mention the Center for American Values, located in Pueblo, Colorado. They are doing two things. They are honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and then also putting together educational programs to instill in us these foundational principles of duty, honor, and patriotism, and also to teach that to the next generation. You can get more information by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. We get to do all of these things because we have great sponsors such as Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N, .com.
It's finally Friday, I'm free again. I got my motor running for a while.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. That website is healthfreedomdefense.org. I would encourage each of you to become members. It's not very expensive. It's $10, and so you can help her with that great work. Leslie Manoukian, several questions, and I do want to go back to, we never finished up this thought, on how did you go from being the only socialist on Wall Street to being a woman that is now suing different governmental entities for freedom? What was that journey?
Yeah, sorry, I kind of got off on a tangent, didn't I? Basically, I started making, well, first of all, once I learned about the whole vaccine issue, I started to think to myself, well, gosh, and I started meeting all these people who had had children who were injured by vaccinations. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what would it be like to not be able to get your child an exemption from a vaccination? And who gets to decide that? And if your kid's injured, who takes care of them? Well, you do. And so I just started thinking, huh, that's interesting. And, huh, isn't it crazy? If this book that I've just read is accurate and has over 960 footnotes in the back of it, that means the government is corrupt. It means that the government is lying to the people about the safety and efficacy of vaccines. And so I decided I was going to make the movie, The Greater Good. And once I started trying to raise money to make the movie, it was very interesting to me. All the people that I thought were going to stand with me and, you know, open their wallets and donate to this very, very worthy cause about protecting children turned a blind eye to us. They literally wanted to have nothing to do with us. I live in a ski resort. There's lots and lots of very wealthy people here. We would show them a rough cut of the movie. They didn't have anything to do with us. And I was like, wow, that's kind of amazing. And then I would speak to conservatives, and they would say, well, of course the government's lying. Of course the government's, the CDC's corrupt. And I'm like, what? What? So that was a huge thing for me. And then I voted for Barack Obama when he first ran. And I cried when he was elected because I thought it was so beautiful that a black man was elected president of the United States. I thought it was a beautiful, wonderful thing. Within 1 week of his election, I knew I had been had because he didn't shut down Guantanamo Bay. He didn't recognize the Armenian genocide. He didn't pull out of Afghanistan and Iraq. He didn't do any of the things that he promised. He started appointing people as like GMO apologists in the USDA. He put in place all of these horrible people within 1 or 2 weeks. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been had. And so that whole kind of progression helped me to realize, once I got deeper into making the movie and then releasing the movie and hearing people's stories all across the country about what had happened and how their rights were being trampled and what was going on in California starting in like 2008 or 2009 when they started trying to attack parental rights, I was just impressed with the utter imperative of fighting for freedom. And I'm sorry, but freedom is antithetical to socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism says, just like Klaus Schwab says, you own nothing and you'll be happy. Socialism says that the greater good determines what you can and can't do, that other interests determine what you can and can't do, not you as an individual. And so I had to do some serious soul searching during those years of 2007 and 8. And by 2009, when Obama was inaugurated, I was done. I was fully transformed, and I was just like, holy cow. I mean, I was one of those total global warming proponents. You know, I was crazed about it. I just thought the world's going to end. And then, oh my gosh, 2013 came and New York wasn't underwater. And I was like, huh, geez. I started digging deeper. Once I say that vaccines are the greatest gateway drug to awakening, because once you dig into the vaccine issue and you see that you've been lied to by those charged with protecting you and your children, our most innocent citizens, you must start examining everything else. And you start to actually see how so much of what is the mainstream narrative is actually an agenda and how it's all connected. And so you start to see that, oh gosh, this is a great example. National Geographic did a cover photograph, and the copy on the cover about 10 or 12 years ago, it said, "The War Against Science." That was their headline. "The War Against Science" was the title of the edition, of the issue. And then underneath it, it said, it lumped in anti-vaxxers, climate deniers, GMOs are dangerous, and flat earthers. This is so insidious. Basically, if you challenge, if you don't accept if you actually challenge the mainstream narrative on vaccines or GMOs, you're a flat earther, right? This is all coordinated, and it's all to marginalize those who actually have a different opinion. And the reason that those people oftentimes have a different opinion is because they've actually done their homework and dug deeper, and they know the truth. And so that's what happened to me. I started to realize that health freedom in particular, but freedom in general, is antithetical to my socialist leanings, and that I needed to reform. And so now I have come full circle. And I mean, I think I'm more akin to an anarcho-capitalist than to anything at this point, or maybe a classical liberal, in that I believe in live and let live, as long as you're not hurting others. And government, the best government is the smallest government possible.
Well, it really is. And I would say I'm the same. I'm a classical liberal as well. And what we saw with the whole reaction to COVID is we've been kind of talking about the federal government. But what I saw even on the local level is people were dusting off their inner tyrant. And I was very dismayed. Even people that I was surprised that I would think that would come down on the side of freedom, they didn't. It was such a weird time to have all this happen. But people, I think, sometimes think when we say that government is local, I think what we have to remember, the most local of all government is the individual, ourselves. And so to cede power to your local government, your municipal government, is just as dangerous as ceding it to the federal government, Leslie.
100%, Kim. You know, I have a 21-year-old son, and one of the things I've taught him his whole life is never give your power away, because once you do, they can use it against you. So don't comply. Don't go along with no one. I mean, cite the Declaration of Independence to them. Our rights come from our Creator, and that they are inalienable. They are born to you, innate to you, by virtue of being born human, by being one of God's children. The government can't take those away. Yes, the government has deviated far. So I would put it this way. Congress and the courts have diverged so far from the Declaration of Independence and from our Bill of Rights and our founding principles. the courts are correcting course now a bit. But my point is, just because the courts and the Congress have literally bastardized what our founders intended doesn't mean that you have to go along with it. And yes, you and you alone can stand up. And when you do stand up, you inspire others to stand. It just takes that one person to stand up and to be and to make their voice heard, and then others will do it. And I think it's incumbent upon us. I mean, I've said on this show before that globalism is the problem and localism is the solution. And the most local, of course, is the individual. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Do you mind if I go into a little bit about the case law and Congress and the laws that they passed and how they have basically undermined what our founders intended? I mean, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go to break, and then let's come back and talk about that in our last segment. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, and you can become a member by going to healthfreedomdefense.org. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of these cases, which is so important. And we get to have this conversation because we have great sponsors, and one of those is Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Shooting outside can be limited, but at Franktown Firearms' 10-lane, 30-yard indoor range, the weather is always just right. Franktown's range supports handguns, shotguns, rifles up to 50 caliber, and even black powder loads. And safety equipment is provided for free. Since Franktown's range is connected with their gun store, they have a full selection of rental firearms so you can try before you buy to ensure that it's a good fit for you. And if you become a member at Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range, you can even access the range after hours. The range is very well ventilated with fresh air constantly, so you can breathe easy while you shoot. Most importantly, Franktown Firearms is a family-owned and operated gun store. At Franktown, you will be treated with respect as their client because they want you to be confident with your shooting and keep coming back. So use your own gun or try a new one on the range at Franktown Firearms today. Go to klzradio.com/Franktown to find out more. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. That website is healthfreedomdefense.org. I would encourage each of you to become members. It's not very expensive. It's $10. And so you can help her with that great work. Leslie Manoukian, several questions. And I do want to go back to, we never finished up this thought on how did you go from being the only socialist on Wall Street to being a woman that is now suing different governmental entities for freedom? What was that journey?
Yeah, sorry, I kind of got off on a tangent, didn't I? Basically, first of all, once I learned about the whole vaccine issue, I started to think to myself, well, gosh, and I started meeting all these people who had had children who were injured by vaccinations. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what would it be like to not be able to get your child an exemption from a vaccination? And who gets to decide that? And if your kid's injured, who takes care of them? Well, you do. And so I just started thinking, huh, that's interesting. And, huh, isn't it crazy? If this book that I've just read is accurate and has over 960 footnotes in the back of it, that means the government is corrupt. It means that the government is lying to the people about the safety and efficacy of vaccines. And so I decided I was going to make the movie, The Greater Good. And once I started trying to raise money to make the movie, it was very interesting to me. All the people that I thought were going to stand with me and, you know, open their wallets and donate to this very, very worthy cause about protecting children turned a blind eye to us. They literally wanted to have nothing to do with us. I live in a ski resort. There's lots and lots of very wealthy people here. We would show them a rough cut of the movie. They didn't have anything to do with us. And I was like, wow, that's kind of amazing. And then I would speak to conservatives, and they would say, well, of course the government's lying. Of course the government's, the CDC's corrupt. And I'm like, what? What? So that was a huge thing for me. And then I voted for Barack Obama when he first ran. And I cried when he was elected because I thought it was so beautiful that a black man was elected president of the United States. I thought it was a beautiful, wonderful thing. Within 1 week of his election, I knew I had been had because he didn't shut down Guantanamo Bay. He didn't recognize the Armenian genocide. He didn't pull out of Afghanistan and Iraq. He didn't do any of the things that he promised. He started appointing people as like GMO apologists in the USDA. He put in place all of these horrible people within 1 or 2 weeks. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been had. And so that whole kind of progression helped me to realize, once I got deeper into making the movie and then releasing the movie and hearing people's stories all across the country about what had happened and how their rights were being trampled and what was going on in California starting in like 2008 or 9 when they started trying to attack parental rights, I was just impressed with the utter imperative of fighting for freedom. And I'm sorry, but freedom is antithetical to socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism says, just like Klaus Schwab says, you own nothing and you'll be happy. Socialism says that the greater good determines what you can and can't do, that other interests determine what you can and can't do, not you as an individual. And so I had to do some serious soul searching during those years of 2007 and 8. And by 2009, when Obama was inaugurated, I was done. I was fully transformed, and I was just like, holy cow. I mean, I was one of those total global warming proponents, you know. I was crazed about it. I just thought the world's going to end. And then, oh my gosh, 2013 came and New York wasn't underwater. And I was like, huh, geez. I started digging deeper. Once I say that vaccines are the greatest gateway drug to awakening, because once you dig into the vaccine issue and you see that you've been lied to by those charged with protecting you and your children, our most innocent citizens, you must start examining everything else. And you start to actually see how so much of what is the mainstream narrative is actually an agenda and how it's all connected. And so you start to see that, oh gosh, this is a great example. National Geographic did a cover article, a cover photograph, and the copy on the cover about 10 or 12 years ago, it said, "The War Against Science." That was their headline. The War Against Science was the title of the edition, of the issue. And then underneath it, it said, it lumped in anti-vaxxers, climate deniers, GMOs are dangerous, and flat earthers. This is so insidious. Basically, if you challenge it, if you don't accept if you actually challenge the mainstream narrative on vaccines or GMOs, you're a flat earther, right? This is all coordinating, and it's all to marginalize those who actually have a different opinion. And the reason that those have a different, people oftentimes have a different opinion is because they've actually done their homework and dug deeper, and they know the truth. And so that's what happened to me. I started to realize that health freedom in particular, but freedom in general, is antithetical to my socialist leanings, and that I needed to reform. And so now I have come full circle, and I mean, I think I'm more akin to an anarcho-capitalist than to anything at this point, or maybe a classical liberal, in that I believe in live and let live as long as you're not hurting others. And government, the best government is the smallest government possible.
Well, it really is, and I would say I'm the same. I'm a classical liberal as well, and what we saw with the whole reaction to COVID is we've been kind of talking about the federal government, but what I saw even on the local level is people were dusting off their inner tyrant. And I was very dismayed. Even people that I was surprised that I would think that would come down on the side of freedom, they didn't. It was such a weird time to have all this happen. But people, I think, sometimes think when we say that government is local, I think what we have to remember, that most local of all government is the individual, ourselves. And so to cede power to your local government, your municipal government, is just as dangerous as ceding it to the federal government, Leslie.
100%, Kim. You know, I have a 21-year-old son, and one of the things I've taught him his whole life is never give your power away, because once you do, they can use it against you. So don't comply. Don't go along with. No one, I mean, cite the Declaration of Independence to them. Our rights come from our Creator, and that they are inalienable. They are born to you, innate to you, by virtue of being born human, by being one of God's children. The government can't take those away. Yes, the government has deviated far. So I would put it this way. Congress and the courts have diverged so far from the Declaration of Independence and from our Bill of Rights and our founding principles. The courts are correcting course now a bit. But my point is, just because the courts and the Congress have literally bastardized what our founders intended doesn't mean that you have to go along with it. And yes, you and you alone can stand up. And when you do stand up, you inspire others to stand. It just takes that one person to stand up and to be and to make their voice heard, and then others will do it. And I think it's incumbent upon us. I mean, I've said on this show before that globalism is the problem and localism is the solution. And the most local, of course, is the individual. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Do you mind if I go into a little bit about the case law and Congress and the laws that they've passed and how they have basically undermined what our founders intended? I mean, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go to break, and then let's come back and talk about that in our last segment. I'm talking with Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, and you can become a member by going to healthfreedomdefense.org. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of these cases, which is so important. And we get to have this conversation because we have great sponsors, and one of those is Lauren Levy. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district? What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today's drive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And I work with an amazing team. That is producer Joe, producer Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Echo, Charlie, Zach, and the whole team working diligently for you. But we're doing something so special this week for Thanksgiving week, and that is actually doing complete shows with a specific guest. And I love it because we're able to get even more into these subjects. And you know her. Our guest today is for the second hour is Lauren Fick. She is the car coach, Car Coach Reports. And we realize freedom of mobility, to be able to go where you want to, when you want to, where the open road calls you, has been something that's inherent in the American idea. And Lauren Fick is on that. So, Lauren Fick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the auto industry. I'm here working the LA Auto Show, which actually has a lot of benefits because what it does is allows me to communicate on a very casual basis, off the record, with a lot of these executives, kind of get their feel for what's truly going on. And a lot of times, you know, I will never disclose or throw any of these people under the bus because that's not the way I operate, and they know that. And part of it is just having a chat, and not like, how's it going, how's the wife and kids, but more along the lines of, how's that EV thing going for you, you know? And boy, am I getting some interesting conversations. And the one who's always been on my side, but maybe not publicly, and I can say the name of this company, is Toyota.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the senior executives, and they had said this a long time ago because Mr. Toyota had said, listen, I don't think going all electric is a good idea, and he was right, and he's been right from the beginning, and he's one of the few brands that have said we're not going all in on electric cars. Those that have said so, like, I don't know, General Motors, are now backing down, especially with the UAW and their increased cost of labor. And then, because remember, they got benefits cost more, too. It's not just the increase in the labor. It's all the things that go, tangibles that go along with that. And then Ford, who was like, oh, we're all EV, until Jim Farley, who's the president, started taking his vehicles up for a drive and realizing their vehicles are cool, but it's not that. It's the infrastructure of charging, and people are getting very frustrated. And they always use the story, well, you can charge at home. Yeah, but you know what? About 60% of the country's got garages. The rest of the country doesn't. If you don't have a garage, where are you supposed to charge? Public charges? Well, that's where the problem lies. So and also there's this range limitation, too much computerization, and that is another subject that came up. So two interesting subjects. One, talking to a bunch of executives, including some I can say, like BMW. I was at BMW factory last week, and they said, we are not making any statements on going 100% electric. We're producing cars here in the U.S. and South Carolina. They're putting $1.7 billion into their plant to produce batteries, but they will continue to carry gasoline, plug-in, as well as hybrid. And I thought that was just brilliant. So I think in this case, that a lot of the car manufacturers are waking up to this. I think it's interesting to think about, well, wait a minute, the government was pushing this. This is not a good idea.
Well, and so to that, because somebody asked me about this the other day, and I was thinking about our conversations, but in some of our conversations, you've said that, because I'm like, I wonder why the heads of these companies have not come out and said this is not a good idea. But you said that there were penalties and really coercion into pushing like GM and Ford. Well, you didn't say those particular companies, but by pushing automakers into the EV market. And so unpack that just a little bit, Lauren.
Okay, there's a lot. So the mandate is, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And I've had amazing viral videos lately, maybe because I think people are pretty upset about what's going on. So right now there's two big updates. One, there's a Senate bill. A House crossed over and said, listen, we are we think in a bipartisan way, bipartisan has said going all electric by 2035 is not possible. There's no way we can make this work. And that is good news. So now we've got the left and the right waking up. Now, we know there's rhinos. We know there's a lot of people on the left who are also claiming to be Somebody put it really well. There are Democrats that call themselves Republicans, but there are no Republicans that call themselves Democrats, or whatever it is. You know, everyone seems to be on the Democratic side. But when you get bipartisan support on a bill that's saying this electric car thing, it's a bad idea. This is a bag of goods. Consumers are aware of it, and we're looking at the numbers. And although they're producing really cool products, and I've driven some amazing products this week from all around the world because I'm a world car juror, and world car, we get some interesting vehicles. And we get, like, the MG1, so the old name MG, the little British cars.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese are marketing that name. And that's the number three selling car in Jordan, the country of Jordan. The only reason I know that is there's a juror from Jordan. We feel small for the world here. And I love coming to this because I get to hear what's going on a global basis. I have the guy who's in charge of the steering committee. I sat next to him at dinner. He says, India, this isn't going to work. India's got a lot of infrastructure issues. And he says that no matter what everyone's saying, Modi, who is their president, and I don't get into the political side of this, he says is like Trump on steroids.
And in India, huh?
Their country. Yeah. He said, but you wouldn't hear that in the mainstream media. The mainstream media is destroying them. He said, but much like Trump. Very interesting conversation. He's saying there's no way electric vehicles are going to work in India, Pakistan, Jordan. And I'm hearing all this from all these different people from other areas of the world where maybe Germany's jumping in. They're realizing, well, wait a minute. We're going to lose 40% of our people are going to be out of jobs. This doesn't work. So BMW has already said, yeah, we're not going all EV. We'll not announce down the road. Translation of no.
I love it.
Too.
Well, and I'm not opposed to free market answers to things, but all this force, coercion, mandates is what has me so concerned. And then we just recently reported there was a headline that said that the cost to heat your home by electricity is 77% higher than natural gas. Well, think yeah. about if you have to charge your car. I mean, the same thing. So this whole thing, it sounds like it's starting to fall apart as people are starting to understand it more.
Well, it sounds like I haven't been saying this for like 10 years. And let me tell you, I have taken a load of heat. And I mean a load of heat from car manufacturers, some of which wouldn't invite me to any of their drive events. And I have to get cars from dealers, which is fine. I'll play the game. You know, like you, I'm willing to stand up and do what I got to do. If I got to borrow a car from a friend, I'll do that. I don't care. But that's only a small piece of what I do. I've had journalists actually corner me and say, I can't believe that you're not on board for this EV thing. This is the revolution. I still have journalists that are out there who are standing their ground saying, this is the only answer in the future. They're dreaming. They're dreaming. This is a bag of goods, and the only one making money out of it is people like John Kerry and the Bidens and all the rest of the left. George Soros, they're the ones making money. It's not about getting you into a different form of propulsion. It is not about the environment. What it's truly about is control.
Absolutely.
It's about control.
Absolutely.
I can limit how far you can drive. And there are some cars that are exceptions, like a Lucid can go 500 miles. But the fact is, if I can limit how far you can drive, oh, you didn't pay your taxes, Kim. But while you're charging, I know where you are for the next 40 minutes. And you think, oh, they're not tracking you? Oh, yes, they are. The infrastructure bill that passed in 2021, that 1,100-page infrastructure bill, they had to jam through before the next Congress came in. Remember that?
I do.
Well, guess what? Look up Section 24220. 24220 is a really, really important factor. And we have been fighting this fight since the beginning. So here's some interesting information.
You know what, let's keep that as a cliffhanger. I'm talking with Lauren Fix,
okay.
The Car Coach Reports, and we do the show because of wonderful sponsors. One of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, and they want you to feel safe and well-served and to understand your insurance coverage and know that their office will respond to your call or text 24 hours a day. For that 24-hour peace of mind, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday, yeah.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. A sponsor that has been with me for a long time is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have lunch specials Monday through Friday, and I particularly love their fish and chips. But it's a really important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism, and then PBIs trying to exert control. And so it's a classic story. You can find it at my website. But again, Hooters Restaurant's a great sponsor of the show. On the line with me is Lauren Fix, and we have pre-recorded these shows for the week of Thanksgiving. And we are talking about freedom of mobility. Being able to go where you want to, when you want to, and the call of the open road. So, Lauren Fix, you had mentioned the infrastructure bill that was jammed through had something. You said it was 24-220, I guess. So what is that exactly, Lauren Fix?
Okay, I'm going to read it to you because it's really interesting. It was written extremely vaguely. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be in-depth in reading to read what this is all about. The bill is called a kill switch bill. They're running it through based on the fact they say it is unsafe for people to drive on the road while drunk. True. 100%. Nobody disagrees with that, right? But the proposal reads, the purpose of the included kill switch in the new vehicles is allegedly to reduce the risk of injury to others on the road by passively monitoring. Passively monitoring the performance, which includes listening to speech of the driver. Okay, there's an amendment that's been violated here. Accurately identifying whether the driver may be impaired. Okay, so it's called an advanced impaired driving technology from the 2021 Infrastructure Bill and Jobs Act. The text also states that there is over 10,142 alcohol impaired driving fatalities in 2019. They go on to talk about the driving test. The estimated cost of the claim of the alcohol impaired driving is $44 billion. I don't know where they come up with that number. I don't know how you calculate that, because first off, the death of a human being, there's no number for that. But also the damage to equipment and so forth. So they're trying to suck into automobile insurance companies and healthcare and all this. Here's the deal. There are 31 different devices available today and being used today for people that have DWIs. All right, so we know that. So with that in mind, if you are drinking alcohol and driving, you shouldn't be driving, period. End of discussion. If you keep doing it, you shouldn't be driving on the roads for your safety and everyone else's. But they do have these devices that you breathe into, like a breathalyzer, or there's tests you have to take to get in the car. There's a ton of them. So they're saying now that they want more. So what does it really mean? Now, let me just, as an engineer and someone who does this every day, there are one, and I confirmed this with three different manufacturers this week, and just standing out in the parking lot talking about their cars and sort of like strolled into the conversation. I said, oh, you guys are doing fingertip touch control. That's interesting. What's wrong with the push button? Oh, no, this is fingertip identification, so you don't have to bring your key fob with you. It's really cool. You don't need your phone or anything. You just put your fingertip on this button, and it knows it's you, and the car will start. Do you see a problem with that? They claim they can detect alcohol or substances in your system. Of course, it can't detect marijuana. But if you took a medication you need, or if you're stressed, all that's going to show sweat. They can be able to detect a lot of your health just by touching a button. We've all seen that. You've seen that little thing. You can check your heart rate by touching
right.
your finger. You've seen that.
Right.
Yeah. So they've been doing that for a while. That's been around on certain brands. Some of the Germans, the luxury brands, they call it a nice little thing to start the car. It's all software. Keep that in mind. So here's the interesting thing. So that's one part of it. They have to listen in the car. They already do listen in your car. You know when they say, you have to bring your car back to the dealer, Kim. Your software and your navigation system, we're just going to download it while you're driving. You won't even notice it. And then some of your map screens are going to be perfectly up to date. Great, I don't have to go to the dealer for the update. Fabulous. They're calling those software updates while you're on the go. Fabulous. What they're also doing, not just downloading, they're uploading. They're uploading where you're going, how fast you're driving, if you're driving erratically. All that is in the computer. It is part of an ECU. It's called the ECU. It's all the computer. And there's a bunch of them. There's like 400 of them in the new cars, the super luxuries. Probably about 150 in like a Nissan Versa, something that's, a normal car. And these are new vehicles. So by 2026, which is where I'm driving 2025 today. Actually, today I drove a 2025 Toyota Camry, and I have the video on my YouTube channel if you want to see what it looks like. So I'm driving 25. I go, wait a minute, 26s are just a year away. So this is listening to you in your car, uploading your data, taking your driver inputs. Remember, there's no more steering rack. Everything's electronic. Electronic steering, drive-by-wire, you've heard that term, or maybe it's electronic gas pedal. There's no longer cables and clutch gears and all that's gone. It's all become electronic. The only thing that's not electronic right now, and it's assisted, is the brakes, and they haven't got to that yet. But in the meantime, so what does this kill switch say? It says in the small print, we can detect if you're under the influence of something, if you're stressed. We see your steering inputs. And we've discussed, they track your eyes. We're already doing that today. So if they're doing all that, plus they're listening in your car, they can take that information and make a decision. Now, it's not Kim and Lauren sitting there going, this person avoided a squirrel. They're okay. No, there's no human interaction. It's all done by AI.
Mm.
Now you see why I'm concerned about this. AI in the car will say, you know what? You made an irrational move. You made an aggressive move that our computers didn't see bad weather. You remember they're tracking all the roadways? We didn't see a pothole, but maybe there was a dog or a child or a squirrel or a deer or a tree limb fell on the road. You won't even know that because that's stuff a computer won't know until somebody reports it or it's somehow scanned. So you make an evasive maneuver to avoid an accident. What happens? Well, that's like strike one. Maybe your wife's having a baby and you're in a mad rush to get to the hospital. Someone is in the car from work who had a stroke or a heart attack, and you're like, oh, my God, I got to get you to the hospital. You're going to be stressed. There's no doubt in my mind you would be stressed. You cut your hand, any situation, fill in the blank, you're in a rush to get somewhere for some reason, and the computer tracks your eyes, sees that you're stressed, tracks your finger when you started the car, listens in the car and says, I hear a stressed driver. I hear an impaired driver, a distracted driver. Pulls over to the side road, four ways on, shuts the car off. It's a kill switch. Now, wait a minute. What if you're being chased? What if your daughter's driving home from school and some crazy person, and there's plenty of them out there on the road, road rage, is trying to cut her off? Now the car pulls over. Why? She's panicked. I'd be panicked too, right? It pulls over to the side road, kill switch. I'm telling you, this is a nightmare. This is a huge nightmare. And they're like, oh, no, if you let this stay in, this article, you try to remove it, it's for you're for drunk driving. Absolutely absurd. So with tons of credit, Representative Massey brought it to the House floor and said, do you know what you voted for? And no one said, no, we never read the thing. No kidding. So what he said was, let me read it. And he read it on the House floor. Representative Thomas Massey from Kentucky is a free speech abolitionist. I don't know him. I have friends that know him. I'm trying to get to him because I think I'd love to just have a chat with him. But in the meantime, they voted bipartisan to keep it in. But you know who voted against it to have it removed? AOC. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said she wanted it removed. Yeah, because they're listening in the car, honey. And we know you don't want them listening in the car because you could use that information against you in other ways. If that data is collected, it's collected, right?
Right.
Hey, they've got everything. You do not want them listening. There's no privacy anymore.
Right.
I mean, if you want to have a conversation and no one's listening, you better take off your watch, your Apple Watch, leave all your phone devices behind, no electronic devices, nothing that's smart, and go out in a field where there's no one around, no power lines, no homes, and have a conversation. That's the only way you're going to have a private conversation. That's the only gift.
Well, and with AI, it will be yeah. amazing what can happen with that. So two things, and I'm kind of going to go back a little bit on this. As you're talking about this, when I was on city council, 2012 to 2016, and even now, the red light camera has been, it's been a real hot button. And I it's always done under the guise of safety, that this intersection is to make it more safe. We're going to have a red light camera. And I've really thought about it. And it really is antithetical to the Constitution that you could be given a ticket, but you don't really are not able to address your accuser, if you will. And so I felt uncomfortable with the red light cameras. But yet you see, and I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they really push it forward under the guise of safety. But now let's fast forward. We go, you know, it's a little bit at a time. And I say they're always playing long ball. And then the other thing I want to bring into this is out here in Colorado, we have a lot of electronic signs that are being run by CDOT. And when it seems like whenever they're trying to push forward some new thing under the guise of safety, it'll say, you know, motorcycle deaths so far this year, you know, be safe, or let's get down to zero vehicle deaths. And I'm thinking this is kind of a propaganda thing to set it up for what you're just talking about, a kill switch. Am I too far out there, right, or what do you think?
No, I don't think you're too far out there. Here's the thing. This kill switch is, I don't know if it's on motorcycles. We don't know. Could you imagine being on a motorcycle?
Oh, gee.
And a kill switch comes on?
Oh, gee.
There's a lot of things to avoid. Listen, I ride. I haven't ridden in years. I dropped a bike, so I'm done riding. I'm getting too old for this. The recovery time is too long. But if you were on a bike and the kill switch came in, I would be really concerned. Not just that you're on a highway, maybe you make a couple of evasive maneuvers, maybe you look down at your phone, grab a couple, sip off your cup of coffee, and it says, oh, you're distracted, pulls over. You got traffic all over the place. You could have a tractor trailer running up your backside. That would be very dangerous. So there's a lot of stupid ideas here. I'm really, really concerned that this needs to be removed. Now, on my website, Car Coach Reports, you can find it on YouTube. I highly recommend you listen to it. It's gone viral. It's almost a million views on just this one.
Awesome.
And what's really important to note is that at the bottom, and I think I may have pinned it in the comments, there's a list you can click on and go directly to who voted for and who voted against. I don't know your representatives in Colorado, or I could look it up for you, but I will tell you, this is interesting. And I note in New York State where I live, one of the geniuses voted for it and one of the geniuses voted against. And I'm saying that very sarcastically, obviously.
So this would be senators or House of Representatives?
This would be House of Representatives.
Okay. So I'm getting to it. And you said this is a Car Coach Reports. And where
Car
is
Coach
that?
Car Coach Reports.
Okay.
I think we pinned it. But if you go, let me just go over there so I can see. If you go to my YouTube channel, Car Coach Reports, and you look at, it's called the content name of it, the name of the file. It says update car kill switch House vote.
Okay, great. We will get to that. I'm talking with Lauren
and I
Fix.
I'll pinned the comment for you.
Okay, good. And we'll talk a little bit more about this or continue the discussion on this. And this is Lauren Fix. She is Car Coach Reports. And we have these important discussions because we have great sponsors. And one of those great sponsors is Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
It's finally Friday. I'm free again. I got my motor running.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And did want to mention Jansen Photography. They are located right here in Lakewood, Colorado, and they are in the business of creating treasured memories. So those would be portraits of your family, your children, your senior student, but also helping you with your career, whether or not it's business or political, because you need that great photo to make that first impression, and they can help you with that. That website is jansenphotography.com. That's jansenphotography.com. And also did want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation, which is located right out in Golden. It is the official Marine Memorial, and it's time for a facelift. It was dedicated in 1977, and Paula Sarles and her team. Paula is a Marine veteran. She is a Gold Star wife, and she is the president, and she and her team are working diligently to raise the money for the remodel. And my friends, it is so important to honor those that have given their lives, have been willing to give their lives for our freedom. And so it is a great thing to go and help the USMC Memorial Foundation at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Talking with Lauren Fix, we have pre-recorded these shows for this week, and we were talking about this kill switch bill. I guess it was in the infrastructure bill. And so you go to Car Coach Reports, and the update on this kill switch is the video, and then at the bottom you've got the actual vote on this. So the ayes, there were 201 ayes, and that was mean they were voting to get rid of the kill switch, correct, Lauren?
They're voting to get rid of it. It was bipartisan on both sides. What's interesting is, like I said, people like AOC voted to have it removed. And then your typical Republicans, you would expect the free speech people. But then some of the people, the Republicans, voted to leave it in. So what happened on the House floor, according to Representative Thomas Massey out of Kentucky, is that when he read the bill, they said, well, you're for drunk driving if you want this removed. That is an absolute farce. And we all know, much like electric vehicles and everything else, it's about control. Because if they can shut your vehicle down, that's a problem. Not for your, they don't care about your safety. How I put it and how I believe Washington looks at you and I and everyone listening is, when you walk through the park and someone looks at you and says, how many ants did you step on, Kim? And you go, I don't know. They're ants. That's exactly how they feel about us. I don't know. I don't care. Doesn't make a difference to me. Doesn't impact my life. I'm on a mission for power and money, which, and you can see it, it's blatant. You know, why in the world would you want this in? If there's already 31 devices that work that are on the market today that are in use, besides the fact you can actually take away someone's license, their ability to drive, somebody's going to do it anyhow, all right? If you take something away from someone, you can't drink, you're not allowed any alcohol at all. They're going to find a way to make it. Remember, we had this before. People started making their own alcohol. Same thing. You can't drive. You're not allowed to drive. You don't have a license. You don't have insurance. We don't want you driving. If someone gets access to a car, they're going to drive. So bad people do bad things. somebody suggested to me, why don't we just take alcohol off the market again? Because then there won't be any drunk driving, right? Same thing.
Crazy. Crazy.
Well, that's the problem. You put these idiots in charge, and this is exactly what happens.
Well, and we have a responsibility to know what's going on. But it's so difficult, Lauren, because there are so many things coming at everyday people. I think of young families. They're just trying to keep it together to work. They've got their home, kids, and they're paying higher and higher taxes. Inflation is getting them at the grocery store to fuel their car. The costs are higher and higher. And so they don't have time many times to really unpack what's going on. So that's why what you're doing is important. That's why what we're doing is important, is to try to get through all that stuff so that people understand what the real agenda is out there, Lauren.
Oh, there's real agenda. I think we all know what the real agenda is. And there's a lot going on, you know, besides the fact that, you know, they want to control this electric cars and the limited range. Manufacturers are aware of it. So I did talk to, I was in one of the brands. I'm going to not say the name of the brand. I was in one of these new 25 cars, and I go, oh, what's this thing? And it's called the A-pillar. It's between the windshield and the driver's window. I go, what's that little box? That's kind of odd. It's like a little black square pointed at the driver. And it looks like they put it on last minute. I said, what's the story with the box? He's talking about the features and the benefits of the car. And, you know, it's got this cool stuff and that cool stuff and this cool safety technology. Oh, he says it's part of a new regulation coming. And I looked right at him. I said, oh, Section 24220. His eyes lit up. He goes, oh, you know about that. I said, oh, I've been reporting about this for over a year. A year ago, I brought this to the people, and they ignored it. And then here it is again. I bring it up, and somehow it got to Representative Thomas Massey, and now he's bringing it up, so I put a third video up. So if you go to Kill Switches on my channel, you'll see three videos. They're very different in different ways. The update one's interesting because there's a link in the pinned on the comments to find out if your representative in any state has voted for or against it. And if they voted to keep this in, you need to contact them and say, listen, do you want my vote? Here's how the deal goes. Stop trying to control us. Because if you don't say something, they're going to do what they think you want. Much like what's been going on before we all started waking up to this.
Boy, this is pretty, pretty scary. And ultimately, they do not want us to go where we want to when we want to. They want to put us in these 15-minute cities. I mean, if you come out here to Colorado, Lauren, you will see these apartment buildings that look to me like Soviet Russia, and they're also trying to put those up and down like the light rail corridor, although people are not riding the train, and it's gotten dangerous and it's dirty, and so the more dangerous it becomes and the dirtier it is, less people are going to want to ride it. And then you may not be aware of this, but Colorado is number 4 in the increase in crime, both, and it's an average of property tax, property crime and violent crime. We're right behind California on losing our minds.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they're trying to get you, the goal of this is, if the range is limited, and you feel that you're being controlled, that you will then go to mass transit. Okay, where I live, there is nothing. I don't even have a bike path nearby. They're trying to put them in, but it's a waste because they put one in and nobody uses it. There is no buses. There is no subways. So what do they want you to do? They want you to move to cities. They want you to move into 15-minute cities, which, you look at the big cities now. They're completely unsafe. I mean, I used to live in Manhattan. You couldn't pay me. I don't even want to go back there to visit. I used to do a ton of TV there live. I don't even know if I want to. You know, they've got everything going on between Hamas and the crazies and the homeless people, and it's out of control. And Mayor Adams is doing nothing. And that's not just in Manhattan. It's in Denver. It's in San Francisco. It's in Los Angeles. It's crazy. And they want us all to move there. You put too many people in one area. Have you seen the movie Escape from New York?
No.
Yeah, you should see it. If you haven't seen it, just go to YouTube and put in the trailer. It's basically the criminals are all dumped on the island of Manhattan, and they take it over. And it's a free-for-all. Whoever's in the prison, you're in there, you can't get out. And they send this guy in called Snake Plissken. I think it's Dennis Quaid or one of the people to go. I think I got the actor wrong. But It's an interesting movie because it's exactly what it looks like now. It's just a dump. And it's sad. It's really sad because I had a lot of great experiences in New York City, but it's not the same anymore. It's very unsafe.
Well, for many years, Lauren, I was in the ladies' clothing business. And so I would go back to New York at least four times a year for each of the seasons. And I love the city. It was vibrant, but I have no desire to go to New York now. And so what's going to happen is these cities, and you see probably San Francisco is at the total forefront of this. These cities, these beautiful cities, American cities, are dying. And it is because the Democrats that are in charge there, and this Democrat Party has been taken over by radical activists. This is not the Democrat Party of JFK. And I've got to think the big, broad middle of America, and that is your moderate Democrats and libertarians and Republicans, conservatives, unaffiliateds. We've got to understand what's going on. How are we going to reclaim our country with what's going on right now?
I don't know anymore. This is going to be about elections. I think that's the only thing I can see happening. I mean, as I'm not into politics for a reason, because I think I would get so frustrated my head would explode. But what's interesting is I see people getting angry, and that's a good thing. People are finally saying, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. So remember, when you go to vote, do your research. You will find that it is very enlightening when you start really looking at where they get their money, what's their history. And some of these Republicans are absolute rhinos. They're not even, oh, I couldn't run on a Democrat ticket because Joe Blow's there and he's my buddy, so I ran as a Republican, and I'm not a Republican, but I won. So there's a lot of that. So you have to make sure that you got to vote these bums out. They need to go away, because I'm telling you right now, it's not going to end until we end it. And that doesn't mean I'm not calling for violence. I'm calling for voting these people out, sending them to do whatever it is they want to do, but get out of government. Because if we don't take it over, we're going to have a problem. And remember, our founding fathers wanted it to be that, Kim, you go to Congress for 2 years, and when you're done, Lauren's going to go, and when you're done, somebody else is going to go, and you go back to your life. Instead, they've made these career politicians, and they're all about power and money, and it is very addictive. It's seven deadly sins, and they're doing as many of them as they can.
Well, and I'm trying to quickly do the research here, what you mentioned on the votes on Colorado. And I saw that so far, Lamborn, Congressman Lamborn, Congressman Buck, and Congresswoman Boebert all voted to get rid of the kill switch. And so I'm going to do the research on the balance of those as well. But the other thing is out here in Colorado, we have mail-in ballots, and we are not cleaning up our voter rolls. And
terrible.
So we've got to demand two things. One, we've got to demand that our voter rolls are clean. And then we also had some legislation that was passed that basically gave the Secretary of State here in Colorado total power over our elections, and that we cannot audit our elections. So we must.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. We must demand cleaning up our voter rolls, and we must be able to audit our elections, Lauren.
Yes, absolutely. Because this is all thing trying to remove people from the ballot and all this crazy craziness just says to me that they have infiltrated every level of our government and our schools and everything that we do. And they've been doing it for decades. I mean, I remember as a kid in the 70s, you know, this whole peace, love, you know, fight the man, all that crap. And now
they are the man.
Are in charge. They are the man. Isn't that interesting?
They
figured out a way. They're smart. They infiltrated the schools. They infiltrated every aspect of our life, from your local politics to your state politics. You got to start taking back the local area. I'm on an IDA board that I was told not to run for office because I'm probably too outspoken for the local area I live. But, you know, I think really what we need to do is start thinking about what can I do to help my community, because this is where you live, wherever that is in the state of Colorado or whatever state you live in, and start thinking about how can I help? Can I join my little town board and maybe once a month have a meeting? Can I be on the IDA board to stop bringing in, you know, letting the Chinese buy land in your area next to your military bases? I mean, all those kind of things, those little teeny jobs, even dog catcher, is interesting because they've infiltrated everywhere. If you've got good people in place there now, make sure to support them. Tell them, you got my support. I have the guy in charge of our town. He's fantastic. He's had one 10 times in a row, but he's fantastic.
Well, and again, that is so important. And when I talk about local control, I've really come to the conclusion, because you can have people in local office that want to be tyrants as well. And so the most local of control is ourselves. So we must be self-assertive in this and take a responsibility as far as local control is concerned. I'm talking with Lauren Fix, and I highly recommend that you go to her YouTube channel, Car Coach Reports, and the update on the kill switch, and then she has the final vote. And transparency is so important. The final vote on who wants to keep that kill switch in your car, and I'll let you know what the Colorado delegation did when we come back. But we have these conversations because we have really fabulous sponsors. One of those great sponsors is Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999. 9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Shooting outside can be limited, but at Franktown Firearms' 10-lane, 30-yard indoor range, the weather is always just right. Franktown's range supports handguns, shotguns, rifles up to 50 caliber, and even black powder loads. And safety equipment is provided for free. Since Franktown's range is connected with their gun store, they have a full selection of rental firearms so you can try before you buy to ensure that it's a good fit for you. And if you become a member at Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range, you can even access the range after hours. The range is very well ventilated with fresh air constantly, so you can breathe easy while you shoot. Most importantly, Franktown Firearms is a family-owned and operated gun store. At Franktown, you will be treated with respect as their client because they want you to be confident with your shooting and keep coming back. So use your own gun or try a new one on the range at Franktown Firearms today. Go to klzradio.com/Franktown to find out more. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I want to mention the Center for American Values, located on the Riverwalk, right here in Pueblo, Colorado. Pueblo is known as the home of heroes because there are four Medal of Honor recipients that grew up in Pueblo, Colorado. And one of those Medal of Honor recipients, Drew Dix, is a co-founder of the Center for American Values. And Brad Padula is the other co-founder. And Brad is an Emmy Award-winning documentary producer. But they do two things. They honor our Medal of Honor recipients with these beautiful portraits of valor. And then also, they're non-political. They are focused on these foundational principles, instilling them in us, and putting together educational programs for our children to instill honor, integrity, and patriotism. So you can get more information by going to America's veteranscenters.org, AmericanVeteranscenters.org. And then also, for all of us that are intellectually curious, Dr. James Lyons-Weiler has created this great educational program, and it's called IPAC-edu.org. They are getting ready to offer their next set of classes, and it is matching up amazing instructors with all of us that are intellectually curious, and you can get more information by going to IPAC-edu.org. Lauren Fix is on the line with me. We have pre-recorded these shows for Thanksgiving week, and Lauren Fix, as I'm reflecting on different blessings, I'm actually really grateful. I was able to fill my tank up the other day at 239, which I had not seen that for quite some time. So I'm pretty jazzed, pretty grateful about that. What do you think about that?
Don't get tricked. The price of fuel is low. Why would fuel be low? Well, when you produce energy in our country or the demand drops off, the price will drop off with it, right? So demand is high, supply is low, prices go up. So what is going on? Why is the price suddenly odd? Now, I'm in California. Prices I've seen as high as $7.69 a gallon.
Wow.
And I've seen as low as $5.60. So why? Because, first off, California, each county adds their own taxes on top of it. But what's interesting about the whole thing is the strategic, it's a tongue twister, Strategic Oil Preserves, the SPR. You've probably heard about it. Basically, what happens is if there's an emergency, like a Hurricane Katrina or World War, God forbid, something happens. What happens is there's oil preserved in caves, in salt caves, in case we need them, that protects us so our infrastructure has power not just for military, but to work. Well, here's the problem. They've been dumping it, and they've been dumping it to lower the price of fuel for elections. The problem is they're not refilling it, and they said they were going to refill it at a certain price point, but that never happened. So the problem is why we're all thinking, oh, this sounds great. You know, we'll have low gas prices, and we'll fill it up at any time. That's what they're telling you in the government. That's not the truth. What's happening. They're just not filling it back up. So if we go to war, and the scary world we live in, and all these crazy people walking across the border, and we have no idea who they are, if something goes upside down, we are in trouble. And we cannot produce oil fast enough because we've been shutting down the pipelines, shutting down the pumps, shutting down the refineries, because this administration is all about wind and solar, which can only produce 18% of what we need, which is far from what we need. And that's a serious problem.
It is. There's a lot to be grateful for. This, you know, as we are reflecting on Thanksgiving week. But on the other side of it is we're in a very dangerous position, and it doesn't have to be this way. It is because of what is happening with this administration and all those in power within this administration. And one of my listeners challenged me. She said, you know, I think there's a tendency maybe to lay this all at Joe Biden's feet, but then they could just get rid of Joe Biden and bring in another candidate.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and people would say, oh, the problems we had was because of Biden, but Harris has some different ideas, and we need to make sure
She's
that people
crazy.
Understand it's Democrat policies, and the Democrat Party's been taken over by the radical activists, and it's their policies that are putting us in this very dangerous position, Lauren.
Absolutely. And I don't think when you understand you're switching one for another, whether it's Gavin Newsom or whoever they decide to put up, because I'm not an expert in politics. I don't claim to be. I don't think Biden's going to make it to the election. I think they're going to get to their Democratic convention and they're going to go, and we've all decided the new person is fill in the blank. We have no idea. I've talked to some friends of mine who are experts. They say it could be Whitmer, it could be Hochul, it could be Murphy of New Jersey, it could be Pritzker, it could be anybody. There's a million crazies, and they're all on the same page, and that is a big concern.
And all of their states are in the toilet.
Oh, of course. I live in one of them. So I will tell you that is true. It's bad. It's gotten to the point that we really need to start waking up and start making some changes, because if we don't, we are going to have a serious problem, and I think we're there now. And I think people have to start waking up to that fact. And I don't know if they're there. I really don't. It's very frustrating, to put it nicely.
Well, it is. And so I wanted to follow up. I'm talking with Lauren Fix, Car Coach Reports. Go to her YouTube channel, and you've got an update on the kill switch, and then you actually have the votes of who voted to get rid of the kill switch, which was the ayes, and those that voted to keep it. And the three Republicans from Colorado all did vote to get rid of it, and that is Lauren Boebert, Ken Buck, and Doug Lamborn. But the other five actually voted to keep it in there, and that is Diana DeGette, Joe Neguse, Jason Crow, Brittany Pedersen, and Yadira Caraveo. And those five voted to basically have something in your car that would prevent you from going where you want to when you want to, because there might be some AI PBI for whatever reason doesn't want you to go where you want to when you want to. So if you Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, you want to go see grandma, you might not be able to, Lauren Fix.
Yep, that's true. I'm frustrated because it's almost like a target. You know what I mean? Like, they feel, how are we going to control the people? That's going to be difficult. A lot of us, right? And we all think, well, they want to control the internet, too. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Starting with New York. Yeah, Kathy Hochul saying she wants to control anyone that speaks against her and her administration. I'm like, whoa, hold on. And actually, this is Supreme Court. I sent this to a friend of mine who covers this stuff. And I said, wait a minute. I said, Kathy Hochul, this is interesting. Think about this in Colorado. It starts in New York. It's going to be in Colorado. She is a new, they're calling it the Hunger Games, is now collecting data from your surveillance. Anyone calling to get rid of or being able to post anonymously on the internet, it should be disqualified, in my view. Anyone who is an employee can't allow his or her identity to cause him or her to get fired. You know, what if you're a battered woman or a victim of a stalker? You know, it would be the police state would enforce either by government ID, you know, they centralize everything. This is all like Zuckerberg stuff, you know what I mean? They want to control everything. So if somebody has bad intentions for you, you can't post anything like, I need help. No, the government has to automatically disqualify you and figure that out. Remember, the founding fathers circulated their papers anonymously from 1773 to 1776 so that King George III couldn't hunt them down that easily. And by the way, there is a SCOTUS report that is McIntyre versus Ohio, an elections communication of 1995, that says anonymity is a shield from the tyranny of the majority. It thus exemplifies the purpose behind the Bill of Rights and of the First Amendment in particular, to protect unpopular individuals from retaliation and their ideas from suppression at the hand of intolerant society. So this is all about control. They're doing everything they can. And they know when they'll put it in place, you'll go, oh, that's unacceptable. And what do you think will happen? They'll turn around, take it to court, we'll win in court, and they'll try again in a different way. Just like Biden, same thing, just keep going at it.
Well, with that, I mean, we are in daunting, dangerous times, but the spirit of the American founding runs through our veins, and we must dig deep, and we must engage in this battle of ideas. You're doing such great work regarding informing people about the freedom of mobility, and that is so important. So, Lauren Fix, thank you so much. This is just, it always goes quickly when you're on the show, but this has just been a great interview, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
And our quote for the end of the show, I went to Pope John Paul II. He said, let us remember the past with gratitude, live the present with enthusiasm, and look to the future with confidence. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.